So this morning, where is your Jerusalem? Subtitled, where is your Judea and Samaria? This morning, as we continue the journey through the teachings of Scripture, we recall last week's sermon, I titled Acts 29, which was Living the Unwritten Chapter, and where we discussed the concept of the ongoing journey and responsibilities of us as modern believers. I emphasize that while the Bible's book of Acts ends at chapter 28, the mission and teachings of Christ continue through the contemporary Christians, and each of whom contributes to this unwritten chapter through their lives, through our lives and actions, in accordance with the Holy Spirit and the principles of faith and unity and discipleship. Today on this theme, we're going to build on it as we explore and recall this week's scripture. Remember that Mark read, which was Acts 1, 7 through 8, which reveals our role in Christ's mission within the modern world. It just dives into that just a little deeper. So this morning's sermon, like I said, is titled, Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea and Samaria? This question is a call to action, a challenge to understand our mission field in a fragmented world. So let us prepare by opening our hearts and our minds, and let's be eager to discover where the Lord is calling us to witness. In Acts 1, 8, Jesus imparts a profound mission. He states, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This verse serves as the cornerstone of our understanding of Christian mission. So reflecting on last week's lesson on the ongoing mission that is to fulfill the Great Commission, right, which is to make disciples of all nations and teach them what Jesus had taught. So let's consider this instruction as an active call to break free from our spiritual lethargy, to get out there and do something. Jesus promised us empowerment through the Holy Spirit. From Luke 24, 49, he says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." We must understand and remember that our mission is fueled not by our own strength, but by the Spirit's power. This divine empowerment is crucial for the formidable task ahead, which is to be witnesses of Christ's love and salvation to a world in desperate need of it. This is a task that is not diminished or discounted because of the relative size of this church. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Our Jerusalem represents our immediate surroundings, our comfort zone. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs, he says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Our witness, your witness, begins at home, with your family, with your neighbors, in the neighborhood, and in your workplace, where we are called to live out our faith authentically. This verse challenges us to be ready at all times to share the hope we possess, a task that requires constant vigilance and preparation, because you never know when the opportunity will arise. Our Jerusalem is where our faith becomes visible through our actions, our conversations, and our lifestyle, serving as a beacon of hope to those around us. We were operating within our Jerusalem as we were sending those text messages with prayer requests, encouragement that happened to be overheard or overseen. That was our Jerusalem. And the next line, he says, "You will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria." So expanding from our Jerusalem, we venture into our Judea and Samaria, the unfamiliar territories and groups of people. Witnessing beyond our comfort zones challenges us to confront prejudices and embrace diversity in Christ's love. Paul writes to the Galatians in 3:28, he says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is neither female nor male, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, he's not speaking literally. There are things that are different about us, diversity. But he's saying in the things that matter when it comes to children of God and who Christ came to save, there's neither this nor that, right? Interject your descriptive, the race, the religion, the height, the education, whatever these, that stuff doesn't exist, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And this reminds us that in Christ, there is no division either, not just differences, but no division. This passage calls for a radical inclusivity. I typed that word as I was thinking it. I'm like, I don't know if that's a thing, but imagine a radical inclusivity. It's not just an acceptance. We are radical about understanding who Jesus came to save. and the love that transcends cultural, racial, and social barriers. And it pushes us to extend the mission to those we might naturally overlook or avoid. He continues, "You will be my witness to the ends of the earth." This is our global mission. To the ends of the earth calls for, again, vigilant and active faith beyond our comfort zone. This part of our mission recognizes that the gospel is not confined to even our local community or even our nation, but is intended for every tribe, tongue, and nation, leveraging technology and global connections when necessary. So back to the core of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, it says, "Therefore, go," don't just stay, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We are more than called. We are commanded to spread the gospel to all nations. The global perspective of our mission invites us to engage in international missions, support missionaries, and to use digital platforms to witness the global communities. Not everybody is called to go to Africa or to South America or wherever that might be, or even missions here in town. Not everybody is called to that. It may not be their gift, but we are all called to support them. And never before in the history of humankind has this been so easy or so cheap. Think about ways you can connect to people through Zoom, to watch their stories on things like YouTube and formats like that, to support missionaries through crowdfunding, right? GoFundMe, right? When we decided as a congregation we wanted to support those in Israel, when we decided we want to support the hurricane victims in Florida, we did some research, and there were opportunities, and we had an opportunity to vet that, to figure out who it was that we wanted to support. We felt comfortable that it was going to be done in the best way. We have that opportunity, and that it's never been so easy to do that in the history. Those barriers are coming down. Living out the Great Commission today involves practical steps such as personal evangelism, social media outreach, and engaging in community service. From James 2:18, it says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." The single sentence challenges us to demonstrate our faith through actions. A powerful antidote to the spiritual complacency that we've discussed in recent weeks. This approach to the Great Commission calls for a holistic engagement with our faith, integrating it into every aspect of our lives and ensuring that our actions speak as loudly is our words. As I shared at yesterday's regional leadership conference, it's a part of our worshipful lifestyle to be doing these things. Worship is more than the songs we sing, but the life that we lead. The Holy Spirit's role, as highlighted in previous sermons, is crucial in empowering us for this mission. Remember Jesus' words recorded in John 14:26. He says, "But the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." This promises that the Holy Spirit will teach you and remind us of Christ's teaching. Essentially, for our journey from complacency to active discipleship, we are being equipped actively. The Spirit's empowerment is not just for extraordinary moments, right? The grandeur shows of missional work or miracles. It's a part of daily living. It's a daily necessity. It guides us in wisdom. It's the voice, the nudging that says, you know, think about this person, do this thing, cross this room, shake that hand, talk to that person, make this call. It provides strength for our witness. It gives us boldness and confidence. And it equips us for every good work that he has set before us. That's a scriptural promise. So I want to be clear, the question, where is your Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria? It's not just about geographical locations. It's not just about going outside the church, or going outside the community, or into the greater world, literally. It also includes the diverse fields of our mission work. Building on the past few weeks' themes, let's actively engage in missional opportunities. Let's each of us take Christ's message from our hearts to our homes. From our homes to our immediate community and to the global stage, empowered by the Holy Spirit and vigilant against complacency. Let us pray continually for guidance and strength to fulfill this great commission, remembering that through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to impact our world for Christ. And as we move forward, let's hold fast to the promise of Acts 1:8, knowing that the same Spirit of empowered the early church empowers us today. so that our lives will be a testament of the transforming power of the gospel. The stories we tell, even the tough times that we're going through, become a part of our testimony. I went through this, worried about a job, worried about health, worried about whatever it may be. And this is how I got through with faith and courage. As we consider the breadth of our mission field, we got to remember that it begins with transformation of our own hearts. I did a message maybe a couple years ago now. I called it Ground Zero, right? Our mission field starts here. Sometimes it has to start within us. If we're not in the place we need to be, it starts there. Maybe we're in a good place, but the mission field doesn't start outside those doors or when you leave the parking lot. But right here, there are people in this room today that love you, that need your encouragement and support. And we know that. We pray for each other. I'm going to digress for a moment and talk about this step. First, the role of prayer in our mission. So important. Prayer must be the foundation of our mission. Ephesians 6:18, Paul urges us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Our mission is spiritual warfare. It is. Our mission is spiritual warfare. And our prayer is an indispensable weapon in that battle. It's through prayer that we seek God's guidance, that we gain strength to overcome obstacles and to intercede for those we are called to reach. It's a critical part of our spiritual armor. As we embark on our mission, we must be devoted to prayer, asking God to open doors for his message and to prepare the hearts of those who will hear it. You might have noticed that in the first paragraph as I was even starting. I said, Lord, let's open our hearts to this message, right? That's the first step. Even before you open the Bible, a quick prayer. What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to know and remember? Second, we must engage the word in mission. Our mission is to also deeply root in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us the word of God is alive and active. It is as relevant today as it was the day it was recorded. It says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. As we engage with scripture, we are equipped with a truth that has the power to transform our lives and our perception. So let the word dwell in you richly, as it's described in Colossians 3:16. Let it guide your actions and conversations, ensuring that the mission is always centered on Christ and his gospel. This isn't a personal thing that you are trying to do, or your personal mission. This is the great mission that we are called to be a part of. Third, the importance of fellowship and accountability. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, because literally, because you believe that or you wouldn't be here. Here you are gathered. You understand that fellowship is important and you enjoy it and the accountability that goes with it. Last week, we looked at the early church, and in Acts 2:42, we saw how they were devoted to fellowship, to breaking bread and to prayer. Our mission thrives in community, where we can encourage one another, where we can share our burdens, and we can celebrate our victories. Fellowship keeps us accountable as well. It provides support for us in trials, and it strengthens our resolve to continue in our mission. So let's not neglect meeting together. In fact, Hebrews 10:25 is that an encouraging passage in that. It says, let's not neglect meeting together, but let's use opportunities like this, like yesterday, like when we have a community dinner here, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And here's the good news. Here's the good news, because this is a big task that we've been given. Our mission is not a solitary endeavor. You are not supposed to do this alone. This is one that is carried out in partnership with the people around you, with the global body of Christ. So as we look beyond our immediate setting into the wider fields of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, partnerships with other Christians, other churches, other missions, organizations, they become crucial. These partnerships allow for the sharing of resources, for the sharing of wisdom and experiences. They make our mission efforts more effective and more far-reaching. We should seek to build and strengthen these partnerships, embracing the unity that Christ prayed for in John 17:21, so that the world may believe that the Father has sent him. Finally, Our mission is lived out in the daily witness of our lives. Whether we're in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth, our call is to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This means showing love to our neighbors, standing up for justice, caring for the poor and the oppressed, speaking truth in love. There's that last one, right? That's a gift. That's a skill. It means being the salt and light in a dark world and reflecting the character of Christ in all that we do. So asking the question, where is your Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, challenges us to see the world as our mission field, entrusted to us by Christ himself. So as we conclude, let us dedicate ourselves anew to this mission. Let us be witnesses empowered by the Holy Spirit, emboldened by the prayers we speak, grounded in the word, supported by fellowship, strengthened through the partnerships we have and make, and faithful in our daily witness. May our lives be a testament to the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. Hear that? A testament to the grace, because you've been forgiven for the things you're worried about being judged by the world around you. You are a testament to grace that Jesus has forgiven you and will use you and will bless you. In this dedication to our mission, we must also recognize the changing landscape of the world. Technology and globalization have transformed the way we live and share information. And this presents both challenges and opportunities. As we navigate these, we can be innovative, though, in our methods, while we're steadfast in our message. This digital age has opened new avenues for the gospel to travel faster and further than before, right? Never before in the history of mankind have we been able to share the gospel as fast, as freely, as we can now. Social media, online platforms, they allow us to reach people in remote areas. For us to gain insight and hear the testimonies and share the testimonies of Jesus' working in the world. Breaking through political and religious barriers, and they provide discipleship resources to new believers that may not have access to a local church, or maybe their church is small and they can't afford resources like this. They're now accessible to us. So as we embrace these tools, let's ensure that our online engagement is marked by the same authenticity and love and truth that we show in person. So in assessing your comfort zone, I encourage you to look at what you're sharing with the world. Is it more about what you do than what you believe? Are you more likely to share a funny story than you are to invite them to a gathering such as this? Or share a good recipe more than you are to share the good news? This is where they'll find true joy and acceptance and learn the ingredients of hope. Maybe not in this specific building, I hope they will, but in that relationship with Jesus. That's what we want to guide people into, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission of Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth also calls for cultural sensitivity and adaptability. We are in a diverse culture, and it was kind of interesting hearing Bill Fogelsong from Eldon talk about that yesterday. He goes, our community is 99.5% white, and they pretty much all look like him. They do. And same here. We don't have a lot of diversity, but that doesn't mean we aren't in a world that's diverse. You know, we can't be all things to all people, but we can represent the one who is. We can. And know that your mission may require a little bit of personal sacrifice. It means stepping out of your comfort zone. This little slide, outside your comfort zone, that's where the magic happens. That's an oversimplification. But I guarantee there is stuff out there to be done that you haven't thought of, that you don't think you can do, that God says, trust me, there's some good stuff I've got in store for you. It means stepping out of that, facing maybe criticism, maybe giving up a little bit of worldly comfort for the sake of the gospel. Yet the call to follow Christ is a call to take up our cross daily. That's from Luke 9:23. Are you prepared to make these sacrifices, trusting that any loss you experience for the sake of Christ is indeed gain? Another scriptural promise, Philippians 3:7-8. Are you willing and prepared for adversity? Just as the early church faced persecution, you too may encounter opposition. Maybe not in the Jerusalem of the sanctuary or among these families and friends, but surely out there where we need to be. We're reminded in James 1:2-4 that trials test our faith, but they also produce needed perseverance. So let this assurance keep us steadfast in our mission, knowing that our labor for the Lord is never, ever in vain. yet another scriptural promise. So as we step forward from our into our respective mission fields, wherever that may be, whatever it may be, let's remember that we do not go alone. The Holy Spirit empowers you, equips you with gifts and fruits for the work ahead. And so my prayer for you is that you will be open to that spiritual leading, attentive to his guidance and obedient to his promptings. Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea, your Samaria? It's not just a question, but it's a call to action. It's a reminder that our mission field starts the moment we step outside the front door of whatever door that may be, and it stretches to the farthest corners of the earth. So as we leave this place, as you just simply get out of this pew, as you start each day for the rest of your life, I want you to go forward carrying a vision of a world transformed by the gospel. What a beautiful image. A vision of hope and healing and redemption. A different kind of peace than we often ask for and pray for the world. And may we be faithful witnesses to Christ's love and grace for such a time as this. Let's commit ourselves to this mission, praying together for the courage, strength, and the love to fulfill it. And may our lives reflect the beauty of the gospel, and may the words and actions draw others into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would you join me as we make that our prayer? Heavenly Father, we love our comfort. We love our comfort. We know exactly what it is. We know what it feels like. We'll even spend a lot of money to create it in physical ways. But that is not where you want us to stay. In fact, it's not that you want us to be uncomfortable. You just want us to find comfort in those other situations too, to grow our comfort zone. So sometimes you're going to need to lead us out, maybe even push us out of our comfort zone to trust in you a little more. And as each measure of that trust and hope is met, it adds to our faith. And our comfort zone is expanded. So whether it's a health concern, a conversation we're reluctant to have, a job, a health issue, whatever it may be, we have just a little more comfort now because we know you and we've seen you work. And then the next one comes along and we're stretched a little further. This, as James 1, 2 through 4 says, is what develops perseverance. But you promise to get us through it. You promise you're with us. And that promise that so often gets misunderstood as all things are good, we understand now that all things can be used for good. Lord, we thank you for being a part of our lives and for leading it. If there's any part of us that's holding back just a little bit, help us remove that barrier. Help us to find that peace and comfort in ourselves and then to share that in our community, our Jerusalem, and the next conversation and the next community, and outward until we have fulfilled the mission that you've given us to teach the knowledge, to teach the wisdom, to teach the instructions, to model the life, and to make disciples. Thank you, Father, for this challenge. We accept it. In your Son's name, amen.